You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy holiday weekend, everybody. I am Glenn DeGeek coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 23rd, episode 3698, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, and that reminds me that because of the holiday, we don't have a show on Monday. There'll be no show on Monday, but we will have one for you on Tuesday. We'll be back here on Tuesday. Today, though, we are both so excited to bring you an interview that we did a little bit earlier with Blake Russell, who's the president of Viagen. Now, why does Viagen ring a bell? Because that is the cloning company. If you remember, we had Charlotte on a couple of weeks ago talking about her three clones. And then we got all these listener questions and auditor questions about cloning. And we got the president of Viagen to come on and answer them. And we did catch up with him earlier. And we were so excited. This was one of my favorite interviews.
He's so cool. He's so cool. Like, just such a chill dude. And let me just tell you that he wouldn't give up too much information on the things I was asking him that are protected by client confidentiality, but I tried.
There's one of them, though, they kind of hinted at that we'll talk to you about after his interview. Yeah. And then in the Auditor Post show, we have some auditor questions. A couple of weeks ago, we also did this thing where you could ask us anything, horsey or non-horsey, and we're going to answer those in the Auditor Post show. You know, this whole cloning thing just reminded me of an article I saw last week, and it was about animals that have gone to auction recently for exorbitant amounts of money. So I went and looked up the article because we were talking about cloning. And you ready for some of these? A record-breaking mule sale took place in Utah. This was a couple of weeks ago, with the high seller being lot number 22, selling for $90,000 for a mule.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there, that's a new record for the highest-selling mule. The sale also featured other high-selling mules, including a mule named Jigs that sold for $50,000 and a mule that sold for $32,000.
I will stand and die on this hill. Mule people are a special kind of crazy.
They are. A wolf dog, yes, a wolf dog, named Catabomb Akami made headlines selling for an incredible $5.7 million due to his unique genetic makeup as the world's first and only dog in his breed, half Caucasian Shepherd and half wolf.
So basically just breed a wolf to like and a make millions, golden apparently. Retriever and you'll make millions?
Apparently.
I take it back. The special kind of crazy is now wolf people.
Oh, we're not done yet. In the livestock world, a grand champion lamb at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo fetched $450,000 for a sheep.
And what?
Yes.
What does this have to do with cloning? Is it a clone sheep?
No, this has nothing to do with cloning. I just saw this article and I was like, oh God, you don't need to clone. You just sell expensive animals, apparently. While a grand champion goat at the same event brought $400,000 for a goat. People in Texas have more money. This is going to be farm boy someday. He'll be taking all his vast oil wealth and buying grand champion sheep for
who spends $500,000 on a goat?
Oh, you ready for this? Additionally, a Nilor cow named Valentina 19 from Brazil continued to hold her record as the world's most expensive cow, valued for her superior genetics and selling for a staggering $4.8 million.
Oh, my God. That makes what our discussion at Viagen seem like peanuts now. Everything, it's basically
this is
free.
Ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. I read this article and I went, oh my God, these are animals. But the wolf dog, I did think the same thing as you. I was like, where can I get a wolf? And, you know, we can always get a German Shepherd. Yeah, we can make
we got millions. Some pretty large coyotes that run in my backyard. Maybe I can, hey, come here.
Get a coyote dog. You know, it doesn't sound as sexy though, as a wolf dog. So there you go. There's the article I saw last week. Oh, my God. Anyway, for those of you that can't afford a $5 million dog, we're going to do Daily Winnies. Auditors Carrie, Sean, and Claire all have birthdays this weekend, and we hope that you have a lovely weekend. Have a great time.
Well, it's going to look a little different around here after today, because today was the very last day of school for Anna, and Lucas's last day was yesterday. So, yay, good times. No more waking up early for the school bus, which is going to be nice. But we have one more week with her. And
Anna's leaving you.
I know. She's leaving. Her parents show up next Friday. So it'll be... And they're going to go, they're like staying here for 3 days. And I'm like, what do I do with them for 3 days in Norman, Oklahoma? I don't know. There's nothing to do.
We went to the Cowboy Museum when we were there.
Okay. Well, that sounds good for people that aren't from another country. Like, do I take them to the Bavarian restaurant?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
I don't know what to do. So that'll be fun. Yeah. I mean, to come from Germany.
Well, your husband has a boat. You could take him out on the boat.
Yeah. That was so fun when I did it with Anna. Yay.
The thing is, you don't have to go along. You send That's them true. On the boat.
Oh, honey, I think that they would love a boat ride through the red, murky waters of an Oklahoma lake. That sounds so beautiful.
Uh-huh. Does Anna remember how to speak German?
I don't know. That's a good question. She calls him every Sunday, so I think she's been practicing then, but yeah.
Did she graduate like top honors in the class?
So today's her last day, and there is a very high percentage chance that she's going to make the principal's honor roll, which is all A's all year, which Lucas did yesterday.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was pretty cool.
Good for both of them. Yeah.
I know. We're breeding them smart around here, and we only let the smart ones in. I don't know how I got here. But
you don't need cloning. You made one smart.
That's true. It's very true. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And then the party planning has started for tonight, because Lucas's birthday party is
tonight.
Oh, the
steak fest.
The steak fest. Oh my God. Hey, honey, what kind of dinner do you want me to have for you and your friends? Would you like some pizza? Would you like some ice cream and like tacos? Can we have steak?
You want any of your crap? You want steak?
Yeah.
What? He's daddy's boy.
So I went to Costco, bought a bunch of steaks for a bunch of ungrateful children.
Got your credit card out, spent $1,000 on that.
Wow. That's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. Well, good luck to the party tonight.
Yes, the party's tonight. So some of the kids are already out of school, some are going to come here. But there'll be five boys having a slumber party. And then, of course, Brooklyn, who lives on the farm with us here, she'll be coming too. I'm sure Anna and Brooklyn and I will all hang out and probably play with horses. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a loud night. It's going to be loud. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it'll be good. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's going to be really fun. I'm super excited.
Well, right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products, we're going to go to our guest, Blake Russell, who's president of Viagen, and we're going to talk all about cloning, and we're going to answer a bunch of your questions that the auditors had after we had Charlotte on a few weeks ago. We're going to get them all answered today.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, Blake, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say again, because the last interview we did with you was in October of 2008. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, time flies. I'm glad I'm still here.
Yeah, me too. So glad we're both still here. So, Blake, we had Charlotte Yost on recently, and she talked about her clones. She had ended up with three of them, and she was so excited about them, and that was only about a month or two ago. But we had so many listener follow-up questions after that. We wanted to have you on to answer some of them. And, of course, you're with Viagen, and you're the big boss there now. So, let's talk about how it works. If I want to clone a horse, what do I send to you? How's it work?
Yeah, so it all begins with a tissue biopsy. So that's a small biopsy that is just done with a biopsy punch, something that almost every veterinarian would have in their bag. And they normally take that from, say, on the neck, somewhere just under where the mane folds. We take a couple of biopsy punches to make sure that that if one was contaminated or something, that it's clean. And your veterinarian sends that to our laboratory here in North Texas. We grow cells, and literally every one of those cells has all the DNA in it necessary to make an identical twin of the donor. And a normal biopsy will produce a million plus cells. So we essentially have an unlimited genetic supply to produce an identical twin of your horse.
But it has to be a live horse, though. Like if my horse just passed away and I decide, 10 minutes later that I want to do this, can you?
Yes, we can. So all of the amount of time that you have postmortem is really a function of the conditions that the horse were in. So if the horse passed in an outside pasture and it's hot and it's been dead a day or two before it's identified, then that's obviously would be a problem. But anything that's died recently, so let's say in the last 24 hours, we have emergency instructions on our website. What we ask the client to do is go and clip off a portion of the ear and store that in a saline solution and send that to us right away. And we've been very successful doing postmortem samples. In fact, that's kind of become my practice for my personal horses. If I'm not in a hurry to produce a clone while they're still rolling, is to do a genetic preservation immediately postmortem. Of course, that can be difficult because, we're emotional. It can be a tough time. Maybe we're not thinking clearly about all the things we need to do at that time. But certainly from the horse's perspective, it's a convenient time to go ahead and take a sample of that ear. And sometimes that can help mitigate some of the loss that you're feeling at that time as well.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. So how long a process is it from the time I send you the sample, to popping out a baby?
Well, the longest part of that is gestation, right? Okay. So we have a 350-day gestation, which, as you guys know, in the horse world, we consider anything from 320 to 380 days normal. And occasionally we'll even have one go a little longer than that. So that's the longest part of the wait. But when the cells come in or when the tissue comes in, it takes us a couple of weeks to turn that tissue sample into a high-quality cell sample, which we can then freeze and store in perpetuity. And then once the client says, yes, I want to move forward with cloning, it really depends on the time of year and just how many people are ahead of you in the queue. As you might guess, the first 4 months of the year tend to be the busiest because of the numbers of breeds that have birth dates on January 1 and people want to have foals in an early part of the year. What we encourage people to do is make your decision to move forward with a biopsy as soon as you think that cloning might fit into your agenda, so that we can then be prepared, get embryos made quickly, and have those embryos frozen and in storage so that we can do transfers at whatever time of the year that you like. Okay. It's difficult right now if a client sends us a tissue sample and says, I need a foal born in 12 months, because just the time that it takes us to grow cells, get embryos made, work through the line up recipient mares, et cetera, pushes us back a few months. I would say on average, it's probably 16 months from the time you send in the sample to the time that you have a foal. But there are cases where it goes a little faster than that.
So the next question that people had, I have to ask the cost question, because if I don't, they're all going to yell at me. I know when we talked the last time, I don't know why I remember this, Blake, because it was like, 17 years ago. But it was like over $100,000 at that time. I assume the price has come down a little?
Well, the price has come down. So it was $165,000 at that time.
That's right.
It's $85,000 now. And that's really a function of just the improved efficiencies that we've been able to accomplish over the last two decades. As we all know, inflation has gone the other way. And so it's still not an inexpensive process, but it is $85,000. And the way that works is the client pays 50% of that up front as a deposit. That deposit is fully refundable if for any reason we fail to make you a genetically verified, vet-inspected, healthy foal. And then the final 50% of that payment is due when the foal is 60 days of age, vet inspected healthy by your veterinarian or ours, whatever you prefer, and genetically verified to be a match to the donor.
So in Charlotte's case, she sent her samples in, right? And she ended up with three babies. Does she then have to pay three times the fee?
So there is a substantially discounted rate if you get what we would call an unordered extra. that unordered extra is $30,000. And kind of the way that works.
Okay, wait a minute, Blake. Unordered extra. I feel like, Jamie, you've had a lot of unordered extras in your barn over the years.
I mean, it's kind of an endearing term, to be fair. Like, that's pretty sweet.
I focused on that term.
Sometimes unordered extras are just as most special.
Yeah. Well, so here's the conversation we had with the client in the beginning. It's, hey, look, in order for us to expedite the likelihood of success, we would like to transfer your embryos into more than one mare, right? Because we all know that with advanced reproductive technologies in any species, they tend to be a little less efficient than some of the other forms, right? And even our best forms of reproduction in horses, a 75-80% success rate is considered quite high. So what we do is we have that conversation up front and say, would you be willing or interested in having, again, this unordered extra? And if the client says, absolutely, in fact, that's less expensive than insurance, the more the merrier, let's go. Then I might do four or five embryo transfers to begin the process. That gives us a pretty high level of confidence that we're going to have one or more go to term. And in her case, we had three that went to term and were all healthy and happy. And if the client were to say up front, absolutely not, I want one foal and I am not interested in an unordered extra, then what we do is one embryo transfer at a time. If that embryo fails to make a pregnancy, we'll turn around and do another transfer one. And if that produces a pregnancy, we'll track that. If somewhere along the process they lose that pregnancy, then we have to start over. So it's kind of a question with a client of, number one, would you like to have more than one? And then number two, it's about time and the risk that comes with losing a pregnancy partway through the process means you have to go back to square one and begin again. Doesn't cost the client any more money, but it can cost them quite a lot of time.
Okay, I have a question. So you're talking about transferring the embryos. Are these the recipient mares with you and y'all fold them out, or do you send the pregnant mare to the person?
Everything is done here at my ranch. In fact, I'm sitting in the barn right now. I foal out every mare myself. I've got about 400 recipient mares here. that live with me, and they tend to be all sizes, but predominantly large, because you can always put a little smaller foal in a larger mare, but you can't put a larger foal in a smaller mare. So I tend to have larger mares than your average recipient herd. And I keep, like I said, about 400 of these mares here so that I can always match up to the anticipated foal size. And so I go through the entire process. We do the transfer here. We gestate here. I fold them out here, and we will keep them here for up to 60 days, which then gives the client plenty of time to both make their plans for receiving the mare and the foal, as well as to get the veterinary inspections done. Insurance rates drop significantly when a foal hits 60 days of age as well. So there's some benefits for the client. They can come here, view their foals. In fact, almost every weekend I have clients here walking through, looking at their foals and then making their plans for how they'll receive those. They take the foals at 60 days of age, and then they send the recipient mare back to us when they wean the foal. And they can wean the foal whenever they choose. But, you know, most people, that's around 6 to 7 months of age. Then they'll send the recipient mare back to us.
Gotcha. So, that's good, because then you keep control of every, all the nuances that can, you know, I mean, because horses, to be fair, are constantly trying to die. So that's probably a good idea that you keep your eyes on them. Like,
well, and as you might, you know, think about when you think about cloning, there's a lot of sort of black box events going on with cloning. And so if anything goes wrong, then, you know, the client has a bad experience. And if we've been doing this now for more than 20 years and a couple thousand foals, we've made lots of progress over that time. And so our likelihood of things going well are better here. And
yeah.
So yeah, it's been a good solution for clients. And again, they have the full, money back guarantee if for any reason it doesn't go well.
Blake, on your business card, does it say president and chief midwife? Because you're basically a midwife. I mean, just...
Actually, it should say midwife first, and then I think president later. Yeah, and sleep deprived might go on there as well.
So do these, this is a listener question, and I think I know the answer, but do they come with papers? In other words, if you get a third, you know, let's take thoroughbred out of the mix, but you know, you get any other quarter horse. Can they get quarter horse papers?
So the majority of breeds that we do offer registration. So the most of the warm blood registries, the polo registries, et cetera, they do offer registration for the clones. And I think quite often they might put a C next to the name so that others through time can observe that that was a cloned horse in that pedigree. The American Quarter Horse Association does not register cloned horses or their offspring, but we do a large number of quarter horses annually because they're performing so well. And you know, if you're showing a reiner or a cutter or a rodeo horse, etc., registration isn't a requirement. They just need age verification, and so we can offer that through other ways. So a veterinary certificate. There are other registries like American DNA Registry that will register the clones and give them a verified birth date, etc. So yeah, even though they aren't in technically registered in the AQHA, which makes them not qualified for AQHA World Show, that sort of thing, but most of the events that these horses are produced for, they're still eligible for.
So that brings up another listener question: is can you force the sex of the baby, and also can you alter any health issues? You know, that maybe the mother or father had, or whoever, you know, the parents had.
So the gender of a clone foal is always the same as the donor. Identical twins are always the same gender.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a male now, you know, a number of people would have a castrated male. So they have a gelding and they'd love to have him back as a stallion. Then obviously the foal is born as a stallion and you now get to make that decision of whether you're going to castrate him or not. So that is one place where I guess gender is affected, but the gender of the clone is always the same as the donor. And then the second part of that question, we do no genetic modification at all. We're producing an identical twin to the donor that you sent us a sample from. However, if that horse were to suffer an environmental insult, they had pneumonia as a baby, or, you know, whatever, there's a good possibility then that the clone foal, you know, that we take the right sort of precautions, whether that's plasma, whether that's a good start, whatever it may be, to try to make sure that foal gets off on the right foot. And from that standpoint, you might find that the health of the clone foal is better than the donor, but it would not be because of a genetic modification of any kind. You know, down the road, I think that could be something that's quite
well. That was my question. You don't do it, but could you do it?
We've been really careful in our space to not do any genetic modification ourselves, because we don't want our clients feeling like we're tinkering with the genome of their horses. Plus, there's a significant regulatory effort around that as well, even to improve genetic defects that we all know about, HYPP, HRTA, et cetera. There would be a significant process necessary to get approval from the FDA to do that. All of that is under review now. And I think as the FDA and the USDA come together on a process to make that available, cloning is clearly the best tool to then edit those genomes, get rid of those defects, replace them with healthy genetics, and reproduce some of those horses that are important for our pedigree. So I definitely wouldn't rule that out in the future, but certainly today we're cloning only identical twins to the animals that were there. Now, Viagen have cloned all kinds of gene-edited animals for other purposes. So pigs for human disease models, et cetera. We've done all kinds of cattle, with various projects, polled cattle, et cetera, things that are been under USDA review for use in those spaces. But we have not done any of that work on the horse.
It kind of makes sense, though. Like, you, if my horse has like a genetic defect, I'm not going to clone it, because clearly that would be irresponsible. So yeah, it's like, you're only going to clone if you're going to invest that type of money. You're going to just make the best into the best, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But again, we know that lots of our outstanding individuals were also carriers of a defect. And so if we could correct those and clean up future offspring out of those, to me, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the welfare, the use of our technology for welfare and conservation is something that's becoming talked about far more often now than it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Do you also do dogs and stuff too?
We do. We also do dogs, cats, and conservation.
Oh, wow.
So we brought the black-footed ferrets back from some of the individuals that were used to found that population never reproduced. And back in the 70s, they had the foresight to save some samples from those. We've cloned those, and they're now reproducing and bringing genetic diversity back into those populations. We have cloned Chevalsky horses for the San Diego Zoo, and they've named the most recent one as the most genetically important Chevalsky in the world, because, again, he was saved in the 70s, and his genes are underrepresented in the current population. So it's been a technology that's proven to be interesting in other ways as well.
Has anybody asked you to do a dinosaur? Because I feel like we should know exactly what's coming.
He's building a park on an island right now.
Dinosaurs are tricky.
They did just recently, though, didn't they?
We're mammal guys.
Okay.
As you might guess, and as you're reading about things, I'm under secrecy agreements for some of the most loud news that you've heard recently. And so that probably says to you that we must have been involved.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, I won't pursue that any further. I think we got our answer.
My question is, this is one of the questions from listeners, and I was like, ooh, that's a good question. Can these clones have babies? I mean, I don't see any reason why they couldn't, but are they like fertile?
Absolutely. Reproductively normal. Yes.
Cool. Okay. Yes. So now the ultimate question that everybody has, and when we talked to you the first time, you had just started this a few years earlier. So, you know, we kind of had an answer, but I think now you've followed thousands. How much are they like their parents, or, you know, like the clone, like their clone? How much are they like them? Physically and emotionally, all of that.
So I always tell people maybe the best way to think about that is think about identical twins, not fraternal twins, but identical twins that they know. Typically, you when you look at them, the first thing that jumps at you are all the similarities, right? But if you look hard enough, you'll see that they're distinctly different from one another in certain ways. But it's really the same thing that we see in the clone foals. We do in the polo world, a lot of those clients clone five clones of each of their favorite genotypes, right? Because they like to play an entire game on one genotype. And sometimes those get spread apart by a year or two, because we might do five transfers and make three foals and then come back the next year and do the other two transfers to make the other two foals. I have a daughter that's in veterinary school, and so she's not here all the time. She can come back on a weekend and manage one of these foals. And, you know, when these foals are babies, they're just brown babies, right? Argentine thoroughbreds. It's hard to know exactly what they are. She can usually say, oh, that's a such and such, or that's a such and such. I can tell by the way they're acting. It's remarkable how similar these babies are to one another. It's uncanny. So I can't give you a great science answer for just how similar are they. I will just say really, really similar in most cases. But in some cases where a particular attribute of a horse was environmental, let's pick something we all have been around, a head shy horse. And if he was head shy because he got smacked every morning when someone went to bridle him, that probably had nothing to do with his genotype. That was strictly environmental. And so when the clone foal comes along, obviously he's not head shy. And so you do have the opportunity to potentially come back. In fact, I had a client here this weekend that she has a dressage horse that was just born here. And she said, I'm so excited because the original turned out to be terrific. But he had a stage in his life where we had him in the wrong hands and they took him in a really bad direction. We've recovered most of that, but he still has a few of those residual things that we wish we could have undone. This is my opportunity to undo those and give this horse a chance to achieve his potential.
That's an interesting question, because I feel like growing up, one of the most famous kind of clones that I remember was Jim Twist. I was a Greg Best Jim Twist. I had a poster of them on my wall growing up. And I know they cloned him three times. Was that Viagen?
It was, yes.
Oh, my gosh, you're famous. Okay. That's fantastic. Yeah. So the nature versus nurture thing, you can improve on that when they have behavioral issues that arise from humans. That makes a lot of sense. That's so cool. It's so exciting you're doing this. And when I'm ready. I've only able to save a tissue sample from my horse I had growing up.
Well, I should tell you that, you know, one of the Jim Twists is currently standing at Stallion at Stallion AI in the UK. And they are an agent of ours, and so we talk to them quite often. Okay. And they're telling me now that his colts are starting, they're really doing well. So it took a while for him to build up much of a set of offspring to really be given the right chance, because early on people were concerned, will the clone foals perform and all this stuff, right? Well, now he's getting some opportunities and he's producing some terrific foals. They were just telling me the other day that they're just really celebrating the success that he's enjoying now. So anyway, pull up Stallion AI sometime and look at, I think they call him Gemini.
Gemini CL. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I know there was three of them and they all have Gem in the name. So that's so exciting. That's really cool, because that was such an unbelievable special horse.
Well, as you might imagine, I get the opportunity to see all kinds of special babies, right?
Give me some names.
Okay, that's another really important thing to say is that we confidentially, with every client, I let them, even like Ms. Yorst, I let them talk about their babies, and we try not to release that information. But once they go public, yeah, I do tend to talk about them. Like in her case, you know, the Chilly Mornings that just won the eventing World Young Horse Championships in France. You know, we're proud of the chilly mornings, of course. We're, you know, we've got Latte that's set records better than the original here in the barrel racing. We've got Polo guys riding only clones now, people like Adolfo Cambioso and people like that. So it's been amazing how successful they've been. You know, early on, probably when we talked 15 years ago, I spoke about cloning it much more as a breeding tool to try to bring important genetics back into a pedigree. But today, I would say a high percentage of the clients are using them for performance because we've now got plenty of data out there that shows that, wow, if their prowess was associated with their genetics, then the clone has the same opportunities. And so they're off doing some amazing things.
Well, this is cool. I got one more question. What did you want to be growing up?
You know, growing up a veterinarian, I grew up in the racehorse business, and I could tell pretty early on that wasn't something I loved. The young horses racing always kind of bothered me. And so I really thought veterinarian, but I got fascinated with genetics in undergrad. And then actually I went off into livestock genetics because it was much more advanced in livestock than it was in horses. And I did my MBA and I did a few things. I got a chance to work in 40, 50 countries. And then I got the chance through Viagen to then come back and now literally live on a horse farm with 500 horses and foals born nightly. And I'm kind of living my childhood dream.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. Blake, we could talk to you all day, but we appreciate you taking time to answer some of our listener questions, and we'll have you back before 15 years again. Okay.
Well, it's great to speak to you guys. I hope you and I are still trucking here well down the road. And
Lord willing,
if you guys are ever in North Texas, please come see us.
I'm in Oklahoma, so I'm on my way.
Awesome. Perfect. My daughter's in school at Oklahoma State. She's in her final year of vet school. So we get up there so often.
Cool. Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm in Norman, so you can stop by when you
will come do.
Through. All right.
Thank you, Blake. And of course, it's ViagenEquine.com is where you can find all the information. I think you've answered a ton of questions today. We appreciate it. As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can add up quickly, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can help you with that financial peace of mind that you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs, then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics to surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for the lifetime of care. Subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/horses. That's carecredit.com/horses. Well, Jamie, before we get to really vet ads, you know how there's always been this divide between rich and poor. And I kind of think that the horse world equals that out, right? And one of the things I was thinking about the other day that happens for some of us in the horse world, and it's just the most exciting thing that you watch for a couple days, and we all do it, rich or poor, is when you get your Spalding Fly Predators in the mail and you open the package and you watch it every, you know, twice, three times a day to see if the little buggers are hatching. It's so exciting for some dumb reason. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I know I love my fly predators. I love the fact that, you know, yeah, it's like you get so excited about a shipment of bugs. You know, Devin out west, she did a whole video about, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just waiting for my bugs to wake up.
And you watch them and you're so excited when they start to pop out. We did spread ours from yesterday, which was kind of nice, but it's so funny.
Well, I got to tell you something else that the auditor Facebook page has been talking about is this is like a heads up for you guys, because we've been talking a lot about fly spray. I find that fly spray, like year to year, is different. And the two fly sprays that I've always used this year, the flies like laughed at it. They were like, this is a joke. Well, when I got my fly predators this year, they included it's called Bye Bye Insects Concentrated Fly Spray.
Yeah, did you know I didn't even know they had it.
I didn't even know they had it. It's a botanical fly and mosquito repellent. And so I was like, well, let's give this one a try. Oh my God, it's amazing. So if any of you are out there looking for that fly spray that's going to work this year, it's working here in Oklahoma.
Well, Jennifer tried it too, because we didn't know. We use the black bottle usually, or the green bottle, right? And she said it's working great.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't either. And it's basically a concentrate. So when you get the bottle, it makes a couple full bottles of fly spray. And I started using it, and it's fantastic. Like, it's the best. Like, you know, you spray on fly spray, and then you go away and you walk and put the bottle down. You come back, there's a fly right where the leg was. Not here. This has actually been working for quite a while. I mean, there's still the one pesky one that tests it out, but it is the most effective one that I've seen. Again, I didn't even know that they had a fly spray. So it's called Bye Bye Insects Spalding Labs. Give it a try. I've been really pleased with it, and I'm going to get some more.
There you go. And that wasn't even a paid commercial.
No, nope, it wasn't. Sorry. It's just me. I just trying to help a sister out, or a brother.
It doesn't smell all perfumey either. Kind of has a different smell to it.
It's like botanical. It's like all sorts of essential oils and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And they said they finally came up with like an essential oil. Because I was like, what is this magical repellent? Anyway, I've been real pleased with it. It's not a commercial. I just happened to use it and wanted to share.
Are we sure it's just not made up of crushed up fly predators that
grind them dead up and put them the flies zombie flies?
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading, well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we get some ads submitted by listeners and we have a little bit of fun with them. They're either on Craigslist or Facebook. And we have a bunch of ads that have come in, so we have a lot of them for you today. And we give away prizes every month, and the following products are provided by HorseLoversWithAZ.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. Check them out at HorseLoversWithAZ.com. And the first one, we don't even need to explain. Just go back and listen to Monday's show. We had a listener come on and actually do a review of this product. It's the Fitz Thermamax 2 Tech Tread Full Seat Breeches. She loved them, I can tell you that. She gave them, what, a 9.5 out of 10. So these are wonderful full seat breeches. They're lined and warm.
The score 10 was if they ride your horse by themselves.
Right. The $100 value, we're going to be giving a pair of those away. What else, Jamie?
We're also giving away Fitz Denim Full Seat Breech, $112 value, and it's combining the classic look of your favorite jeans with the functionality you need for riding. These breeches are crafted from a comfortable stretch denim fabric that moves with you. God, you can't put a price on the perfect denim breech. This one provides a secure grip while the contoured fit and strategically placed seams ensure a flattering silhouette and all-day comfort. Featuring traditional jean styling with belt loops and pockets, they seamlessly blend equestrian performance with everyday fashion.
There you go. That's worth $112. And then we have two of these packages, and they are stud muffin packages, which includes three 45-ounce bags of stud muffins. That's the original stud muffins, the stud muffin slims, there's the scooter stud muffins, and stud muffins peppermint. You get three 45-ounce bags. It's a $72 value. We're going to have two winners of that. And you know, stud muffins are handcrafted and made with high-quality ingredients that horses love. I haven't found a horse yet that doesn't like a stud muffin. So check those out today. And they do have an are starting to sell now in the stores. I saw the lower sugar stud muffin slims for horses like Jamie and I have. So you can check those out too. And of course, you can visit horselovers.com today to get any of these terrific products. All right, let's. The first ad was submitted by Zoe. This is in Minnesota, Wisconsin Horses. Available, one horse with two personalities. Emotional damage included free of charge. This guy fried my last very pregnant nerve yesterday. So notice of eviction is upon him. Located in Hudson, Wisconsin, hauling available, I'll pack his bags myself. Meet Dreamer, a 10-year-old quarter horse draft cross gelding, approximately 14.3 hands of mostly good decisions. Unfortunately, Dreamer comes with Steve, his asshat alter ego who shows up like a bad ex, uninvited and at the worst possible times. Dreamer shows up 90% of the time. Steve, he's the other 10%, but will ruin 100% of your mood. Dreamer is broke to ride, drive, a strong puller, machinery carts, your sanity, up to date on shots and coggins. Dreamer is a good boy, nice horse, and was previously sold to some poor soul as a beginner safe. And honestly, that might be true if Steve didn't live rent-free in his brain. Somewhere on YouTube, there's a 20-minute video of him trail riding with a previous seller like a total angel, probably filmed during a hostage situation. Steve's resume includes acting like he's never seen tack before, turning into a drama llama when you swing a leg over. Drama llama, I like that. When you swing a leg over, playing stranger danger when friends come by to meet him, and gaslighting me daily. Steve is more of a huge annoyance than an actual danger, but don't message me saying you're a beginner looking for a confidence builder. Steve will eat your confidence and ask for dessert. I'm pregnant, tired, and overheated. So he's priced accordingly. If you've got the patience, experience, or just enjoy the thrill of emotional roulette, Dreamer and Steve could be your guy. $3,500 or best offer. My guess is going to be best offer. There you go.
my guess is no offer.
Message me before he ends up on Craigslist or starring in a true crime podcast.
Oh my God.
It's worth it just for the ad. What was that line? I'm pregnant, tired, and overheated.
And it's only May, so it's just going to get worse, sister. Oh boy. Okay. So the next one comes from Faye. And this is North Alabama Horses Facebook page. I have a feral Mustang I'm needing off my hands ASAP. Looking to trade, willing to look at anything. I'm just too, oh my God, it's the theme today. We don't make this stuff up. I'm just too pregnant to continue training, and she's too smart to let pasture rot. She's a true project. That is definitely one of those lines in an ad that you want to steer clear of. When they say she's a true project, that means this thing is a monster. She's a true project and is going to test your horsemanship. That is a very North Alabama pleasant way to say this horse is going to kill you.
I love, so that one's also pregnant, tired, and overheated.
Yeah. It's a really pretty white horse that's standing in the woods. Yeah. I guess that's about as close as they could get. Oh my God. Okay. Oh, you give me the next one too. Okay. Melinda sent this one in, and oh God, this is horses for sale in Texas. First sale, 3-year-old stud colt, chaos on four legs and looking for a new zip code. That is the title of the ad, people. Are you tired of peace and quiet? Do you yearn for a life with more adrenaline, hoofbeats, and the occasional teenage hormone drama? Well, saddle up, Buttercup, because we've got just the equine hurricane your midlife crisis has been prayed for.
God, we have a theme today.
Oh my God, the equine hurricane your midlife crisis has been praying for. That's typically what people do. Meet Ranger, a 3-year-old stud colt with the attitude of a rock star and the emotional range of a caffeinated teenager who just saw the White Snake video for the first time. Do I need to say it?
No.
Geld that. The whites, this magnificent beast is roughly 800 pounds of raw horsepower, testosterone, and existential angst.
Okay, but that is the first time in a Texas ad we've seen the word existential.
Yeah, or angst. Built like a freshman quarterback before he finds whey protein and prettier than your ex's apology texts. Highlights include 100% grade A eye candy, hot tamale cinnamon coat with a shine that could blind NASA. Oh my God. So bad. Main like Fabio. If Fabio had no concept of personal space or boundaries.
I'm not sure he does, actually. You know, when you look at him.
You look at the pictures on all the front covers. He's not respecting anybody's boundaries. Hooves checked, vet checked, ego unchecked. Ranger's hobbies include practicing his rodeo debut without permission, whispering sweet nothings to your mares from across three pastures and one restraining order. Why are we selling him? Because we value our sanity. Press 1500 OBO or we'll consider trades for something less chaotic like a tank, a priest, or a therapist. Located in Lone Oaks, Texas, prayers included.
I'm pregnant, tired, and overheated.
Let me tell you something. The picture of this horse is a horse that is a very plain, less than a below average looking chestnut. So, well, I guess it'd be sorrel, something or other. There's no reason this horse should have testicles. Sorry, carry on.
Well, not only that, he's hanging his head over the barbed wire like the barbed wire's not even there. So,
yeah, that's true. That is a really freshly strung barbed wire fence.
Yeah, I think they probably had electric wire and he didn't stay in that. So.
It ain't even rusted yet.
By the way, these people put their horses out in barbed wire and never get hurt. We put our horses out in barbed wire, they'd be shredded to pieces.
Dead.
Ugh, Rebecca sent this one in. Two horses and a donkey for sale. Well, this is a Craigslist. Two horses and a donkey for sale. Horse trailer saddles $12,345 in Colorado City. I have two horses and a donkey for sale. I also have a horse trailer. I have two saddles, and each horse would come with a harness. The donkey would come with food. Please contact me for more information. Why does a donkey come with food and not the horses?
Well, I mean, you know what? They got saddles, Glenn. Okay.
By the way, the pictures of the horses are from very long way away in the mountains of Colorado.
Yeah. There's two. Those might be horses or they might be bushes. We don't know.
$12,000 bucks, though. You're paying for these horses.
Oh, man.
If $12,000 bucks, I want food for the horses, too, not just the donkey.
Yeah, not just the donkey. Yeah. Come on. Donkeys don't even need food.
That's true. That's true. That's why they're giving the food for the donkey. It's like this tiny little handful. All right. This was sent in by Laura, and she recorded herself for double the entries.
This is Laura Berry coming to you from Edwards Air Force Base here in Southern California. I have a bad ad for you today. It is a horse trailer. It is on a Facebook group called California Horse Trailers from Kenwood, California. It says, I have a two-horse front-facing horse trailer, has two huge dents in front, and by huge, they are very huge, needs new tires and one brake light, spelled B-R-E-A-K, has tack room underneath the hay major, period, needs new flooring, need gone ASAP. For $2,200, $2,250, and the trailer is parked on a bunch of leaves. There are leaves all over the trailer. It's missing windows. The side panels that are open don't look like they might close. The storage compartments are full of hay string and more leaves. You can't see the bottom of the tires, so I don't know if those are inflated or not. And it seems to be parked in the woods somewhere. My favorite part of this entire ad is the comment that says, you might get more money if you scrap it. And I agree.
For $2,200, I'm going to get it to scrap it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Thank you for that, Laura. And, of course, Laura, you get double the entries for the prizes this month. Bethany sent this one in. This is Boyd County Saddle Club. Number horse for pound sign horses for sale. Storm is a 7-year-old pony ready for her new home. Information on Storm. Storm is very sensitive. She will need a calm person. Storm is sensitive to feed changes, saddle fitting, and people she don't know, etc. Storm can carry up to 150 pounds, currently being worked with jumping. She's only gated when shod. $2,000.
Would you please describe the look on that horse's face? It must be a mare. Describe the look on that mare's face.
Okay, that mare's face looks terrified. She just looks terrified.
I think she looks mad. Yeah. I mean, her ears are flat back. You're right. Her eyes are bulging out. Yeah. Like she's scared and mad. And if you walk up near her, she will kill you.
Yes. Skinny as a rail, too. Poor horse. She can only carry 150 pounds because she only weighs 400.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No heart.
Oh, moving on. Good God. I need to go save Storm. Where's Boyd County?
I don't know. I'll look it up for you.
Terry sent this one in. Oh, this is Oklahoma, too. Yay. Are you the absolute handiest in the whole state of Oklahoma? You fancy yourself a free prospect that you can put 60 days on and send out into the world to make some less talented equestrian happy for years to come? Well, please swipe left. If you are content, nay, happy to take on a prospect with no discernible potential to become a productive member of society, read on. Meet Agnes, 13 hands, stout, pretty cute. Rumored to be 2 years, but can't get close enough to confirm. She is not handled, halter broke, gentle, desensitized, easy to load, or respectful of your personal space. Okay, save us both a lot of time and put not before anything you need a good horse to do, and you'll be correct.
We do have a theme today.
She is crazy as bat, beep, faster than a hound dog who just stole your lunch off the table, quicker than the housefly you're trying to shoo out of the dashboard of your truck. And this here unstoppable force has not met an object she can't move. Located in Elmore City, Oklahoma. These are very, like, obscure, terrible horses with really well-written ads.
They are.
It's amazing.
I don't know. Jennifer, did you pick them all today, or did they just come like this? Boyd County, by the way, is in Kentucky, so that might be a little far for you.
Oh, a little far.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody help her.
Christy sent this one in. I think this is our last one for the day. Affordable Equines in Mish. Yeah, it's in Michigan. Who likes some tiny and a little loco? Oh, God, we're continuing the
theme. Every one of them. It's crazy horse sell day.
Who likes some tiny and a little loco? Meet Spite.
Yes, that's the worst name.
Yes, he excuse me. Yes, he lives up to his name. Stands a whopping 34 inches. He may be tiny, but don't let that fool you. Only 2 years old and hasn't been handled a whole lot, so we can't fault him too much. He is gelded, thank God. He is pretty, and he's got that going for him. He's kind of cute. He's really cute, actually. He won't kick you, but he will rear straight up if panicked. Spite will lead if you can catch him. Just need some direction and a person with a lot of time on their hands. Not a kid's pony unless you hate your kids. God, we do have, it's in Ohio, by the way. We do have a theme, but that is some mane that pony has. It's white and brown.
This looks exactly like the Shetland pony I had growing up. I mean, his name was Pepito.
Pepito's rear straight up and kick you in the face. Was that his
Pepito
go-to?
Was about 150 by the time I got him. Oh. He probably did do that. Yeah. We got him when the summer camp closed down. So, you know, he's had some stories. We would end on that one, but I did find one in Oklahoma. And I just, it's just so Oklahoma that I thought I should really share. And it was on Craigslist, of course, because that still is my favorite classic place to find ads. This is the title of the Craigslist ad is Mare and Filly, P-H-I-L-L-Y. Mare and Filly, two horses. Make offer / trade $1. And this is in Meeker, Oklahoma, which is southwest of here. A non-registered paint mare and her almost year-old female colt. Out of grass. Need to sell. Mare broke, but ain't been ridden in a while. Mare has prolapse in one eye, but it don't affect her vision. Colt is striking with four white stocking legs and a diamond on her forehead. Might consider trades of some kind. A running Jeep, hay, pickup truck, or belted Galloways or Highland heifer cows. Okay, I looked up the belted Galloway and the Highland heifer cow because, like,
cheap.
If you're trading two basically feral, probably lame, injured horses, you think that if you're trading it for something, you would be cheap. So, like, a running Jeep, what is that, like,
$10,000
and then you want to trade for a pickup truck, which could be $15,000-$20,000, or a belted Galloway or a Highland heifer. Those are thousands of dollars.
Aren't they the Harry Coos they're talking about?
The Highlands are the Harry Coos, and the belted Galloways are those. I looked at the Oreo cookie ones that are black on the ends and white in the middle.
Yeah, you're going to see those when you go to Scotland this summer.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to Scotland.
Oh, that's sad, because I wanted to see the Harry Coos.
I wanted to see the Harry Coos too, but do you know what happened? Tangent here. I did hours and hours and hours of research planning a trip to Scotland.
I know, you were so excited.
My husband, all he's wanted to do is go to Scotland, and spoiler alert, I know he wants to play golf. So I even found a place that he could play golf while I could go ride horses. It was great, all of this, yep. Blah, 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 figure out the whole thing. There's like the tattoo going on. I had the whole thing planned. And I'm like, I don't understand why I've been talking to you about this and you haven't wanted to buy the tickets. You haven't wanted to do anything. He's like, well, I think I changed my mind about Scotland. What?
It's where you play golf. That's the ultimate place to play golf.
I think the fact that Lucas was going to come with us, I think he just wanted to go play golf by himself. And if I go ride horses, guess who's taking Lucas? He is. So he's like, I'm like, could you not have told me that 9,000 hours of research later? Yeah. Oh my God. So now
I'm bummed you're not going to see the tattoo too, by the way.
I know, me too. Well, I will see it. Don't you worry. But this is the plan now for our summer vacation in August.
Hey, let me guess. Can I guess? Back to Hawaii. Yeah.
Well, here's the twist of the whole thing is we are going to go to the airport, and we have this app that tells you what seats are available on American Airlines flight. And we're going to go to Dallas Fort Worth and search for on the app, it's called Best Bets. And we're going to take our passports. And we are going to have summer clothes and winter clothes. And we are going to go wherever there's first class seats available.
I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to go to the airport. This would be when flying was easier. I always wanted to go to the airport and fly to a city for lunch. Have lunch and then fly home. I always thought that'd be cool, but not anymore.
Well, that's what you do when you have your own plane, and they're called $100 hamburgers.
Yes, exactly. So. Yeah, not anymore. Not the way flying is. Well, I'm bummed. Yeah. I hope you do get to see the tattoos.
Well, maybe Scotland is going to have the only first class seats available.
Well, maybe. And then bring your notes along, just in case.
Right?
Maybe you could arrange it that way, you know.
Sure. I'll make some calls.
Yeah. Oh, look, Chad, we're going to Scotland.
You're going to play golf with Lucas while I go ride horses. Bye.
See ya. And that's the time of year they do those rides we've had people on to talk about, those huge rides around the countryside.
It's almost like he knew that that's what I was planning. And yeah, then
you were
going to
desert him for a week while going riding. Yeah. We have listeners there that could have put you up.
I know. Oh, okay. Well, it's going to happen. But yeah, that was a very random tangent at the end of Really Bad Ads. Sorry.
And we did have a lot of the similar ads today. So thank you, everybody, for sending them in. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here on Tuesday. And hang on, auditors. We're going to answer some of your very pressing, important questions in the post show. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody. And happy Memorial Day.
All right. Spade, neuter, geld.